back, everybody, to Finding My Perfect Awkward. And this week, this has been a long time coming, and I am so excited. Hi, Laura.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you? Thank you so much for saying yes to being on this week. I am so excited.
I'm very excited to be here. It's finally kind of ramping down my year, and things have been crazy here in Kentucky with our tornadoes and everything. And so it's just been... This is like the cherry on the top of my chaotic week in a good way. So I'm excited to be here with you.
Oh, that's so sweet. No, but you were telling me a little bit pre-show about the tornadoes going and what you're doing. Do you want to, before we get into everything, do you want to talk about what you've been doing this week?
Yeah, so my bosses are amazing, and they put together basically we had tornadoes last Friday night, really late in the night, not normal for Kentucky, A, at any time of year, and B, not in December, but we had massive tornadoes, the largest amount of death to a tornado in state history, I think, at least since the 1800s, and several cities are just gone, and so we kind of started to brainstorm our management and us. How can we help? You know, a lot of people are gathering supplies. A lot of people are doing money, but how can we help? And we're like, Christmas is coming up. We have a Christmas station in our cluster. Why don't we just try to get toys for these kids? And so we went with a humble of, if we could get, you know, 5,000 toys, that would, we thought that wasn't even possible. And we started promoting on Monday. Tuesday, we had our first drive. We set up at 3 different spots in the city. We rotated them around every day. And we've probably gathered over 10,000 toys so far.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, people just keep pulling up with carfuls of stuff that they and several people will pitch in. And they go to Walmart. And they buy the shelves clean. We cleaned out a dollar store next to one of my stops the first time. No toys. They had nothing left by the time they were done. And it was just, I cried so many times this week because it was just, you know, after a very polarizing few years we've had politically and everything going on in the world, it just, you know, COVID everything. It was nice to see people of all walks of life coming up and doing something good for someone else with nothing. They get nothing back. They weren't going to get entered for a prize. They just did it because they heard us talk about it on the radio, and they didn't want to think about these people not having a Christmas this year. And so because of the generosity of some kind people who have listened to some silly jokes me and my coworkers make, there's going to be a lot of, and we actually hooked up with a radio station cluster down in Mayfield in that area. So they're helping us connect to their community, which is great. Cause you know, it's just, they're not in our company or anything. And it's just, it's so nice to see the power of radio in two different parts of a state working together to make sure an entire city is going to have a nice Christmas despite a horrible tragedy. So
that is
very
amazing.
Grateful.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And all of those people are grateful too, I'm sure. Like, I can't even, I was telling you this too. I've, you know, there's, to see it on the TV and to experience it are two very, very different things.
Sure.
And to know that there are people out there whose houses are just gone, like that just disappeared because of a natural disaster, and that they have nothing but you guys and nice people are able to provide them with something for Christmas is absolutely incredible. Like, I'm speechless. Like, it's absolutely amazing to know that there are good people still out there.
Yeah. So it's humbling and sobering to see people come together like that. Cause it's like, you know, you get so jaded hearing about, and here in Louisville, we have a really bad problem with gun violence and crime right now, just because of the unfortunate economic situation some people are in, and to see this many people getting together from all walks, like I'm not kidding about all walks of life, there were people that were clearly very rich, there were people that were clearly giving the last of what they had to make sure we could do something for something else and someone else. And it was just, we set up the first day 3 or 4 bar doors down from a sports bar. We didn't talk to them or anything like that, but they saw us standing out there at the tent and they said, what are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're gathering toys for the kids that were affected in the tornado. We're going to take them down there this weekend. They went inside the bar. And this is just a seedy looking sports bar. You wouldn't think anything of it. A bunch of bikers outside. They walked inside and they'd had a company Christmas party and gathered toys and hadn't decided where to donate them yet. And they came out with like 4 boxes of toys and brought them down. And I just like, I lost my mind. And I gave them like 3 or 4 shout outs on air. I'm like, you guys have no idea. Like, this is, this is what we do as a community. And if we had this energy all the time, just imagine how great things could be. If we just all took care, like, it just, it reminds you of what's possible. And I know that's not how the world works all the time, but it's just, you know, it's nice to know that if you can use your powers for good in a time of need, that, like, it was worth it to do all the stuff you do. It's worth it to get up at 4 a.m. if I can help one person have Christmas.
Exactly.
As silly as that sounds.
No, you're absolutely right. And it reminds you, you know, it reminds us that they're still good. There's still good people in the world. And there's, you know, people who are willing to help others despite whatever's going on. So that's incredible. Like, that's incredible. All right. So shifting gears a little bit, I wanted to talk about you. Go figure. But I...
We love to see it. No. My least favorite subject. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. No, so
I think that's a radio must.
if you don't like the way your voice sounds and you don't like to talk about yourself, you're in the right industry.
Exactly. They're like, you went into radio, you love attention. I'm all like, no, the opposite. I accidentally ended up with a morning show. That was never the goal. It was never the goal. It was a complete blind accident. So
no, but you actually ended up not only with a morning show, but didn't you end up with a morning show by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah. Wildly unprepared by that. But, you know, it's funny because, like, I had been in radio for almost 10 years when that opportunity arose. I mean, granted, like, 5 of them were in college radio. So it's like, you know, some people don't want to count that. I still will, because I did a lot of work, and it was a real radio station that ran 24/7. We had logs. Yeah. We scheduled music, you know.
But experience.
Yeah, and there's different levels of, you know, college radio. But anyway, you know, it basically, I accidentally ended up with a morning show because they blew up my morning show I was a co-host on. And they were like, well, you know, we don't know what to do with you. We thought you'd rage quit, to be honest. So I stayed and I was persistent. And they're like, okay, well, we'll let you voice track the morning show or do it, you know, for a little while until we decide, you know, if we're going to bring somebody in or hire somebody else. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'll take this opportunity. At least I could build an air check. This is great. They put me in the seat at the end of the fall book. The first book I have by myself is the winter book. And that first book, I got number one. First time in station history. Whoa. First time in the cluster in years for anybody. We didn't really have any number one stations at the time. And then they were like, okay, I guess we're going to leave you alone now.
Yeah, I think you're going to stay right where you are. You're fine.
You're fine. You're doing great. And that's why I say accidentally, because, like, it was never my intention to be there by myself. I did not apply for that job. I was the traffic reporter who became the sidekick who took the station to number one on accident. Like, it was... And I say, on accident, because, again, I didn't apply for this job or anything, but I know I worked for it. I earned it. You know, it's not like I sat there and made stupid noises and then, like, somehow magically got it. It was a lot of blood, sweat, tears, hard work, and very enthusiastic, please love me energy, I guess. And that worked out for me. And that's great. And I've done it a few times since. So they don't get to call me a fluke, but, you know, It's a challenge to go from helping someone build a show to this is all on you. Good luck. You're the anchor for this station. You're the face of this station. You're the person people rely on to get there every morning and not screw anything up. And, you know, especially through COVID, doing a one-man show, it was hard. It was hard. It was really hard a lot of days when there was nothing in the prep. And it's like, I got 4 hours to fill and no one's listening. What am I going to do today?
Yeah.
Still give it my all.
Yeah.
Even if it sucks.
For sure. So back up a little.
Sure.
You said that you started 10 years before you got the morning gig, right?
Yes.
So you started in college. Let's start. Yes. How did you get in to radio in college? Let's start there. And then let's go all the way to where we were just talking about.
Okay. So I initially went to Western Kentucky University, which is down in Bowling Green, Kentucky, one of the cities that was actually affected by the tornadoes. But I went there to be a photojournalist initially. I wanted to take pictures for Time Magazine and National Geographic. I had big dreams. And my freshman year, the iPhone came out. And I went, oh, that's not going to be a job very long. That's not a good career path. And so I, you know, I started working at the college radio station because a guy I was dating worked there, and I always loved radio. And I was like, well, I'll just play radio. This is fun. It's, you know, it's a thing you volunteer. You give them 3 hours a week. Great. Whatever. And then I realized I really loved radio. I loved every aspect of it. So eventually I became the local music director. I helped break bands like Cage the Elephant and Sleeper Agent and Morning Teleportation all played on our station first. Cage the Elephant, like, I've known them since they were, no one knew who they were. We were the first people to play them on the radio at all.
Sweet.
And so, you know, that college radio station experience was really great for me. And then I started going in a different direction because I was like, well, radio is also a dying industry. This is maybe not a great life choice. And so I went towards a communications degree, did some other stuff. And one of my friends from my college radio station was like, hey, I'm working at a hot AC station here in Bowling Green. We need a weekend person. Would you be interested? This was like right as I was graduating. And I'm like, okay, I need a part-time job. It's something fun. I was managing a Panera Bread at the time. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do this. This is at least it gets me some a bit of sanity that I'm not using my degree to manage Panera Bread. So, you know, I start working at this hot AC station. It was an awkward fit initially because I did not know how to interact with that audience. I was very unsure of myself. I was a baby DJ still. And I stayed there for about a year, mostly board hopping and doing Saturday mornings and kind of building my chops. And then my boyfriend at the time wanted to move up to Louisville, where I am now, because he's from here. And I said, I'm not doing anything right now with my life, really. I'm going to go. Well, my company said, hey, we've got stations just south of there in Elizabethtown. Do you want to come work there? And at least until you find something else. So I say, sure. I end up being the front desk. I'm the traffic and continuity person for 8 stations. I'm also the night jock on the rock station. I'm the front desk. And I'm doing all this for $9 an hour, driving an hour each way.
My God.
Yeah.
So for that, like a that's year. That's a story radio. Yeah. You don't go in the radio.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Fine. Yeah, and I was like, I got more experience doing that than I did for my 4 years in college or 5 years in college, though. Like, honestly, I learned more because it's like when you're in charge of that kind of stuff. And like, I had to fake it until I made it on a lot of that stuff because they kind of were like, here's logs. And I'm like, I've never worked in commercial radio. I don't even understand how these commercials work, but I'm going to have to pretend like I do. And so, you know, it was great. And it's helped me understand other parts of the building when it comes to radio, because I understand what sales is going through, what the traffic director is going through, and all this other stuff. And so, long story short, I do a year there in E-Town, and I'm losing my mind because I'm also working at a TV station as a audio op on the weekend. So I didn't take a single day off for the entirety of 2013 and half of 2014. Because I was working weekends. So I literally had one day off in the entirety of that year and a half. I slowly degraded into I can't function, obviously, because you can't do that as a person. But I'm trying to build my resume. I'm trying to get in the career path or whatever. So then I see a job posting for a traffic reporter for the morning shows in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm like, hey, I live there. I don't know anything about it, really, because I drive to E-Town every day. But I'll apply for this job. Well, my luck, they were desperate.
No.
They had been looking for somebody for this job for like 4 or 5 months. The girl that was doing it was not happy because she was a temporary fill-in and didn't want to get up that early. So finally, I call and I'm like, hey, is there any chance you would just give me a shot at this? And the guy's like, you're hired. Like, if you're willing to show up in this job, I don't care if you know anything about reporting traffic. Can you talk into a microphone? Yes, you sound competent. The job is yours.
So fantastic.
I get there. I don't know a single road in the city. I don't know anything. I don't know which directions the interstates run. It was a nightmare scenario. But thankfully, the programs we had, I could cheat it enough and fake it. And so, I started working with the morning show on WSFR, where I am now, and the host at the time, Carter, he was like, he was desperate for an extra person. And so, long story short, I start going in there in between breaks. Like, I'd do my traffic reports, and then I'd come in there and do bits with him. And we kept doing that for a while. And then finally, it kind of built itself into its own show to where they had to hire me on. And I think that was part of the demise of the show also, because they never had any intentions for that to be a two-man show. And ooh, while we did well, it's still, you know how radio is. Like, it just, yeah, they have intentions. Yep. They have certain budgets, that stuff. And it went well for a while, and then internal problems happened. They blew up the morning show, and then it's just like, that's why I say accidentally. Like, I literally all this way through, I've just kind of been like, I'll do this job. Will you let me? And they're like, sure. And I'm like, I'm not qualified for this.
I'm like, yeah, just give it a shot, though. It's fine. Yeah.
It's, you know, I've realized that I think a lot of it's just trying to pretend you're more confident than you are. And it works
honestly,
out.
Honestly, that's all that radio, honestly, anything public speaking wise or public anything, like, you turn on a mic and you just, you know what? Fine. I'll turn it on and just say something. I don't know. Words will just crumble out of my mouth. Sure. And then it just turns into, oh, I guess I'm going to do this again tomorrow. Cool. But it's like, anything. I used to not know how to do that. I used to just not know how to just open my mouth and talk regardless, like turn on the on button in my head that goes, hey, didn't know how to do that. So it's like this whole thing where radio itself and anything public speaking is like definitely just faking the confidence until you actually get the confidence. And then it's like, cool. Yeah, I'll do this. Sure. And also, like, being able to do multiple things, like you said, you were traffic and jock and, like, a whole bunch of different hats, that you also sometimes have to do that.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes. I mean, you should assume you're going to at some point or you will be cut next. Yeah. And, you know, one of my old bosses used to call me the Swiss Army knife, because anything he asked me to do, I would either figure out or I already knew how to do. And he was like, you're the ideal. But it's like, that also is a trait that you have to be wary of, because people will take advantage of it. Because once they see you could do XYZ, well, then why have anyone else help you? You could do XYZ by yourself. And so it took me a while to be able to build up a confidence to say, no, this is my limit. I can only do this much. Like, I know I physically can do XYZ, but I also need to have a little me time sometimes. I need to be able to not be overloaded and stressed out. And that the whole process that got me to be way overzealous and learn everything was also detrimental to me for a few years in my radio career. Cause I would just go, 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 go. And like I said, that year that I didn't take any time off, I don't know how I survived that. Cause looking back, it was so unhealthy and so awful. And
yeah.
And while I enjoyed those jobs, they weren't bad jobs. They weren't hard. I didn't have any terrible. Well, I had one coworker that was obnoxious, but nothing that was that bad. And you know, to do that to yourself, they'll do that to you if you let them. And you have to be able to be polite about it, but firm. Be like, listen, do that.
You need to be, well, you need to stay valuable. You need to know how to do things and be valuable with as many hats as you can. But you're also human. Like, everybody in that building is human. So everybody absolutely needs a break. Everybody has a limit. Everybody hits that wall where they're like, okay, I need to sit down and have a day.
Yeah.
So for sure. Okay. And then how did you, so then you got the morning show, and then where are you at right now? You're still at the morning show and you've done the fundraiser for the toys for the tornadoes.
Yeah. And we do a lot of stuff as a station. I'm on the board for a thing called Via Calori, which is a big street art festival that we have here in Louisville every year, where we now work with the Girl Scouts of Kentucky. And so basically we help fund them. But the idea is that it's just, they take over this entire area of the city and just chalk art. And I mean, like, art. They're like painting. These people are incredible what they could do with chalk. Cause I'm like, I got a sick man. Like, that's all I'm good for. Same. I can be funny. I can't draw. We only have certain talents. But it's incredible to see all of it. But it's this free family event that we have every year. We get people to sponsor and everything. So, like, the station's really involved with that because of that. And we do a lot of other stuff like that. But we also just, it's been a weird 2 years because, you know, it's like, a lot of, with being in a classic rock format, a lot of my content and the things we do are concert oriented. And our bands, while a lot of modern bands, like, you know, your Dua Lipas and those folks, while maybe not currently aren't on tour, but a lot of them have been touring this whole time, whereas most of the acts that we work with and we promote and we do concerts for still haven't hit the road yet.
Right.
So I've been sitting on my hands going, what am I doing for 2 years now at this point with no contesting, none of that stuff? And then with the nature of the industry with COVID, it's just been difficult because you've got so many people cutting corners in every way. And it makes the whole thing real hard sometimes, but I'm very thankful that I survived all the axes and I do get to do what I do. And I do have big things coming in the near future that I can't talk about yet, but, yes. So ears to the ground towards me and give me a week or two and then we'll announce some things. But, you know, right now it's, I'm very grateful because Summit Media is great to me and they've done some really great things for enforcing the importance of local radio, because I also do radio in Wichita, Kansas and Omaha, Nebraska, but I still get to kind of really be hands on the ground with those markets, regardless of being a voice tracker. And I'm thankful to have those opportunities to kind of do different things and grow my career, you know?
That's awesome. Well, yeah. And you, the, like, so mornings is for a lot of people in radio is like the goal, right? At least it was for me. Like mornings is like, yes, that is where I want to be. But then once you get there, it's like, okay,
now what do
I want now? Yeah. Like, what's my next goal? What do I want now? And it's great to see that, like, once you had it, you were like, okay, now that I have this, I'm comfortable with this. I've been here for a minute. What else do I want next? Like, what else is going to happen? So that is awesome. And I think that, like, mornings is a great aspiration to have, and it's something that like any aspirations are good to have once you get to a certain spot, right? And then it's good to look in the future and what you want next, but you do always have to keep looking at, okay, I can't just stop having goals. I can't stop here, and this is gonna be it for 40 years. No, but that is awesome, and I can't wait to, like, see what you have in store. That is so exciting.
Very excited about it, but very also nervous about it too, because it's, you know, I've done the same thing for a while, so it'll be a big challenge for me. But you know, it's that's kind of the fun thing about radio, that while you're technically doing the same thing every day, no day is ever the same, and that's what I love about this career, because I'm the type of person that if things get repetitive, it drives me nuts. And so it's like, I can't be doing the same thing every single day, and having that control of my fate, in a sense, like, you don't totally control anything, because it's like, it is one of the only industries where you can just be fired for no reason, just for breathing, you know, like, somebody just doesn't like you, you're gone, bye. Not that that happens all the time, but it's, you know, it is a possibility that you always have to keep in the back of your mind and worry about. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know any other career where I can come and go where I want. I can talk to my bosses pretty much however I want to, I can dress however I want to, and I get to be authentically me to a fault. Everywhere else I worked, it's like, don't be you. You're sarcastic. No one likes that. But in radio, they're like, people love it. Keep it going. And I'm like, yes, this is my place. Finally, I found a way to monetize my dark sense of humor. This is wonderful, you know?
Yes, you are in the right spot. Speaking of change, you recently, because so I've kept up with you on social, specifically on Instagram, and your hair likes to change, and it has gone through a recent change where the top.
No, I'm brown now on the top. This is the first time I've had natural colored hair in 6 years, and it was just I'm tired of the maintenance of the high end hair. To be totally a lazy thing. Like with this fantasy colored hair, if you do the whole thing the whole way, I could only wash it like once every 5 days,
or the
color would strip too fast, and I was like, I just want to wash my hair like a person again. Like that's really all it is, and so. There was a lot of laziness, and my hairdresser's like, are you sure? She's like, because I'm not stripping the shit out of your hair in 2 months. And I'm like, no. It's like, you could redo it once or twice, and if I still feel this way in two more colors, we'll flip it. And I did.
Yeah.
And so we've done this, and I like it. I feel like it makes me feel as old as I am now. Because it's like, people confuse me all the time. They're like, you're like 20. And I'm like, no, please. I sound it. I look it. I know. It's like, I'm in my mid-30s at this point. Please respect me like 3%. So it makes me feel a little bit better as like a respectable adult. And I still get to be me. I still get to have the fun colors because it's still mostly blue. But
I love it. It looks like a color ombre almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I had somebody write something shitty on Twitter to me. Because you know how people on Twitter are. They're just assholes for no reason.
Yeah, he's Twitter's like, awful.
You have dead Billie Eilish hair. And I'm like, this was on purpose, but thank you.
Also, Billie is blonde now, okay? Like, yeah, let's move on.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's whatever. I'm like, I get it. You need a hug. It's fine. You just keep needing a hug because I'm not going to give it to you. It's not going to be for me, sir.
Twitter's a death hole of people that, like, don't have anything better to do but insult other people. And then, like, that's half. But then, like, the other half are the people who have to respond to those people. Ugh.
There was, like, a small period of time that I made a Twitter account that didn't follow anybody. And anytime someone was shitty and I saw it, I would switch over to it and just say whatever unhinged shit I wanted to say. And then I'd log back. And I'm like, I gotta stop. One day someone's gonna figure out it's me because it's only commenting on, like, certain posts or people that I'm clearly following. So it's like, I've gotta stop doing this.
It's kind of smart in a way, though.
Good. Yeah, I needed to get it out of my system, you know? It was election season. I need to say some shit, you know?
Some people need to be talked to, you know what I mean? Like, some people, they, you know, not in a mean way, but, like, they need to be told some stuff. But you can't always, especially if, like, you're in the public eye.
Yeah, you can't say that stuff. And, you know.
But.
And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings outright in a way that embarrasses them like that. It's more of like, hey, you're an idiot. Here's why. I just need you to be aware that you're stupid. Yeah, it is very petty. But it's like sometimes I feel like my ability to point out people's inaccuracies in their logic and thinking, I'm wasting it because I can't use it because of the radio. And I'm like, I'm so good at this. I always make these people stop. I'm smart at debating people when it comes to, like, just don't be an asshole. That's always my policy. Just don't be an asshole. Can you just not be an asshole? I don't care what you do otherwise. I don't care what you believe. I don't care who you are or what you marry. Just don't be an asshole. It's that simple.
Exactly.
Like, I don't like anybody.
Honestly, like, as long as everybody can have an opinion, but one, don't throw your opinion down somebody's throat. And two, just don't be mean about it. I don't understand how, like, people on Twitter or not, in person even, can, like, say something to somebody and just be so mean about it. Like, don't be mean. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get about anything.
I fully
about
get it. I'm like,
anything.
Well, and, you know, I learned a trick when I was managing fast food retail that I used to tell my associates and my employees whenever, you know, someone would come through being awful. Like, we had this guy that was, he had this horrible messed up backstory of, like, he did cocaine and accidentally killed 3 kids in a car crash type shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
And so we knew this about him, but every time he came through the drive-thru, he was just mean. He was awful. He was condescending. He was hateful. He made some girl cry one time. And, you know, and I sat her down. I was like, this is going to be hard for you to hear in this moment. I was like, but you should feel sorry for that guy. And she's like, why? He's an asshole, blah, blah, blah. I was like, listen, I was like, people don't act that way unless they're hurt. I was like, he is sad. His life sucks. He's miserable. And so he is taking it out on you. And he wants you to be hurt. But instead of feeling that, it's going to hurt a little when people say things like that. But, like, you need to instead take that energy and realize that I could just feel sorry for him. Like, what a shitty life it is that you have to go around being awful to fast food workers. You know, is your existence where that's the thing that triggers you to be terrible to people? Like, I can't.
You don't
want to
be the only one miserable in the room. So you got to make other people feel miserable with you. And it's unnecessary.
And I don't even know that those people realize they're doing it sometimes. I think they're just in pain and they're awful. And so that's what I always told people, like, just feel sorry for him. That guy needs a hug really bad. And that's sad for him because he's not going to get it because he acts that way. And maybe one day he'll realize it.
That's such a good outlook. Honestly, there needs to be more people that think that way and that switch to that mindset so that people can move forward from situations like that. Like, that's so good for you. Good for you. I have a lot of trouble with that. I'm like, you know what, Karen? I'm going to cry for a second and then we'll move on, okay?
Cool. It's like, I'm not, you know. It took me a while to get there because I used to be very, and I still am a little sensitive. I just don't let people see it. You know, it hurts my feelings when people don't like me or if they leave a mean comment. I had a YouTuber come after me one time, and that was horrible.
Oof.
That was a horrible experience. I won that battle, but it still sucked because it's like all his dumb mouth breathing people on his comments kept and like yelled at me and called me names, and it's fine, but. I was just like, who are you that like a YouTuber can tell you to go harass a radio DJ and that like you just blindly do that? I'm just gonna block all of you. Go ahead. Like I had
I never had anything like that big happen, but I worked at Cane's one time and I had, you know, there I had food thrown at me. I was spit at. That was fine. But yeah, no, it was awful. But I honestly don't even think that store knows right now. And I don't even work there anymore. But there was a lady who came in and she was doing some, you know, delivery service. I don't know which one, but she was doing some delivery service. She comes to pick up the food and she's like, I'm a part of this Facebook group and it took me this long to get here. And now I am so angry that it's taking me so long. If my food is not ready right now, I'm going on this Facebook group and I am complaining about this restaurant. And I'm like, this is first of all, it's just chicken fingers. Second of all, you are complaining about how it's taking you too long to pick up the food for your time, like your service. This is not a me problem. This is not an us problem. This is a you problem, and you need to stop yelling at me. And she got so angry. She's like, if you're going to tell me that this food is going to take any longer, I'm just going to leave and complain. And I was like, no, it's not ready yet. And she got so mad.
Bye.
I've never had a Karen that was so, and she was, this is like not even relevant, but she was, significantly shorter than I was. Sure. So she was like screaming at my face, but like, you know, not screaming at my face. And I was like, I don't know what to do.
I can't hear you from down there, ma'am. It's so mean.
It's so mean, but like and I don't wish any, I hope that she just canceled the order and like got a good one the next time. And whatever the case, I hope she's doing well. But I'm telling you what, Laura, that character, she was significantly. Yeah.
Oh, fun. God. I had my worst one, and it was my last, like when I was leaving Panera to move to Bowling Green, I knew I was leaving for like a month. So I was at the last end of my, I just have to survive this job until I move. And so I was at Panera Bread. When you order your food, you walk down to where like the soups are and you pick up your order down there, right? So I was working that area, basically doing a role called expediting where you gather all the things and put them out there. Well, some guy comes up to the counter and I was having a bad day. Every day was a bad day towards the end there. And he just caught me in the wrong mood. He comes up and he flips his sandwich open and he's like, this isn't the right amount of bacon. And he points at it, and I'm like, sir, that's the amount of bacon that comes on that sandwich. And he continues to argue with me. No, I always get more. I get the sandwich all the time. I'm like, sir, I make a minimum of 50 of those a day. I know that's how much bacon comes on it. I'm the training manager. I train people to make this sandwich. Like, I know how much bacon's on this fucking sandwich, sir. And I'm trying, and like, at this point in my headspace, it's like, I have a college degree. This man is yelling at me about bacon. I do not have the patience for this at this phase of my life.
It's just bacon.
And so he's freaking out about it. So finally I snapped, and this was not a good character move, but I don't take it back. I walked back to the counter behind everything, and there was a training manual flip book thing that showed you all the ingredients on every sandwich. So as you were building them, you could look at them. And so I take it and I slam it down on the counter in front of this guy. And I'm like, how many pieces of bacon does that say? He's like, two. And I was like, how many pieces of bacon are in your sandwich? Two. Have a nice fucking day.
and my boss
is like, Laura, dishes, go do dishes. She's like, I can't do this. I'm not going to be talked to by this man just because he spent $8 does not give him the right to talk to me like an animal, and I will not accept that treatment from this bastard. I was so mad.
He's just having a bad day and just needs a hug.
Oh, God. And that was one of those times when I was like, do as I say, not as I do, guys. Like, please don't follow that lead. That was not... But it was, you know, it was one of those times where you just snap. It was just, I'm like, don't tell me how many pieces of bacon are on the sandwich. I make 50 times a freaking day. You gotta be kidding me. It's like, that's all I do is make this damn sandwich. It was like the most popular thing on the menu. It's
well, it's one of those times, too, where it's like, okay... You know how to do my job better than me. You put on this apron, put on these gloves,
make your own sandwich.
Yeah. You get behind this counter and do it.
You mess with the panini girl. Have a great day. Try not to burn your hand. I do it every single day.
Oh, my God. So, like I've said, I have been following you on Instagram for a minute. And today you posted something about what song... is stuck in your head right now, or like
what song makes you happy?
Yeah so instantly happy, right? So I have mine, but what is yours?
Mine will always change based on my mood of the day, so I'd like to preface it with that.
Yeah,
because I'm one of those people, I hyper fixate on songs. Like if I find a song I like, I will just beat it into the ground for like a week, and then I'll find a new song and then I beat that one into the ground.
Absolutely.
I'm really obsessed with that Elton John Dua Lipa song right now. That is not my general vein of things, but I love it. I'm a huge Elton John fan anyway. So it's like hearing that, at first it made me really mad because I turned on some radio station that wasn't mine when I was driving home and I heard the Dua Lipa part to start. And I'm like, this bitch is covering Elton John. I hate it. I hate it. And then he came in and I was like, okay, never mind. He co-signed. I'm not allowed to be mad about this anymore. So then I started listening to it. Then I'm like, oh, I'm really obsessed with this song now. Shit.
It's a good song.
It's great. It's got a good vibe. It's just like perfect for this time of year when it's a little cold, although this week not so much. But generally it's a little cold and you're driving around, all the leaves are falling, and it's just got a good vibe to it.
It does.
But probably the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil, if I'm going to pick one that I play on the radio. That one's one of my favorites. It's just one of my faves. I love the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Rolling Stones are awesome. I have one that has always, like, for years and years and years, it's been, and I say that, I'm like 23. Everybody hates me. But legitimately, since I was 6 years old, so that's years and years and years. December 63 by Frankie Valli has been my favorite song. I can always listen to it, always be in a good mood. Always, like, I know every word. It's just that song, right?
Yeah.
But then I have another part of me that's the same exact way as you just said. Every week it changes. Right now, it's High Horse.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good Valley one, though. Ground.
So good.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm beating into the ground.
Yeah, that's the one I'm doing that right now with. But it's been 2 weeks just because I like it so much.
Well, and I'll give you another one that is going to make people roll their eyes at me a little bit because we're not supposed to like them. But I really love this new Morgan Wallen Broadway Girls song. And I'm not proud of how much I'm enjoying it because he got Lil Durk on there. And I'm like, not supposed to like this, but it's really good. It's a really good song. And so it's... I know. Listen,
what,
I'm from Kentucky.
What do you do with people that are canceled, though? Like, and I mean,
you know, but he's one of those weird cases that I really think he's only canceled to people who weren't going to like him to start. Because he just sold out an entire tour of stadiums.
Well, so you like, also, like,
at what
there
point
are
gonna, do you.
The people that love him are gonna always going to love him. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's where it's complicated because it's like this whole cancel thing. It's like, you're canceled to people who were never going to be your audience. So are you actually canceled? Because Bill Cosby, for example, canceled by everybody. We all agreed, fuck that guy. Mm-hmm. So, but like with Morgan Wallen, he's got this feverish fan base still that, I mean, full stadiums. This isn't like he's selling tiny dive bars. He's selling 50,000 seat places and selling them out instantly. So it's like there's enough people that haven't canceled him, whether you agree or not, that it's a complicated area. And that's why I think, like, I don't know. I feel like canceling people, I've gotten into this weird thing where I used to be very gung-ho about, like, I be punished, you know? And in recent, like, in the last year or so, I've kind of started to evolve my opinion on it. Not to that people shouldn't be accountable, because I absolutely do not believe that. You should 100% be accountable for any shitty thing you say. You said it, own it. But I think that we also have to, just like criminals in our justice system, I think there is an amount of, if you can grow and you can learn, I'm willing to hear you out.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it. It's like, if you're willing to donate and talk to people and educate yourself and be better, I'm always going to give you that chance when you prove to me that you've done those things. I'm not going to just, if you say you're going to do it, no, I need to see physical actions. And he donated money. He, like I said, he got a little Dirk on his song, so clearly he got somebody to co-sign for him. It's not like, you know, you can get a rapper on there. It's you can't be that racist.
Well, and I think it all depends.
Not cool, and it's not okay.
I think it all depends too on like what they get canceled for.
Yeah,
and like how long ago it was, and what the situation was, and who it is. Like it all depends on what is going on. Yeah. Like YouTubers get canceled all the time, right? And the beauty community in general, like they all get canceled all the time. It's a different one, a different day, right?
Yeah.
But it all depends on, you know, if they stay canceled, how long ago was it? What did they get canceled for? What happened? You know, like James Charles, Shane Dawson, like what did they get canceled and why?
Yeah.
Like in the case of James Charles, he's not necessarily fully canceled anymore, but you know, what he was canceled for wasn't like being racist. It was, you know, something else. With Shane Dawson, it's being racist, but it was 15 years ago. So like what is that line? What is that barrier? What is that thing that makes it okay? Sure, like we can overlook this now, or oh no, we're not gonna overlook this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I think there's a lot of it that's, I think sometimes things are out of context, because I think people tend to love to look for things to pitchfork and yell about. And, you know, there's several examples out there where people, like, they take one thing out of context. They're like, oh, this person's transphobic, so we're going to cancel the shit out of them. And it's like, well, I mean, what they said wasn't nice, but technically what they did wasn't as bad as the out of context version that only you got. You didn't watch that. Like, when I'm thinking about it specifically, it's like Dave Chappelle, like when he got canceled and everything and people lost their minds, it's like if you watch the full special in context, it's a different tone than what you read in the blogs and on Twitter. And while I don't agree with a lot of the things he said, it came from one of those, it's another one of those empathy things where it came from a hurt place where he's a minority and he's seeing this other minority pretend to have struggled more than he believes they did compared to his struggle and the complicated emotions he has around it. And I don't know that he processed those emotions properly.
Yeah.
But I also don't think he like hates trans people. You know, so it's like it's this complicated area where it's like you need to do better. Yes, absolutely. Do better. Be better. Learn. But again, I believe in the ability for people to grow and change. And because it's like, I don't want to be judged for the stupid shit I did 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
None of us do. We all do dumb things. You're going to do something dumb in the next week that 10 years from now you will cringe at, and you won't think it's dumb now. But that's the nature of it. I'll do something like that, and when I'm 43, I'm going to feel the same way and be like, oh, shit. Like, what did I do? Why did I think that was okay? There's been times I've looked back at pictures from college. I'm like, I need to delete that before somebody yells at me. Like, this is shit, like, out of context looks terrible.
So yeah.
So it's like, you know, if, like, we cancel everybody for every small mistake they make, then we're going to have no one left over time. So it's like if we have to choose our battles. I mean, people need to be held accountable, though. Like, I'm not against people being called out. Call people out, please.
Well, and, you know, like you said before, too, some people just don't know that they're spewing things out like that. Yeah. They don't know what they're saying or doing. So for somebody needs to call them out to be like, hey, this is what you're doing. This is not right. You need to fix it.
Yeah, this is how you make people feel when you do this. Please don't do this. And if they continue to be that way, then, yeah, fuck them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's in the case of Morgan Wallen. I really think it was just he was ignorant and stupid and around people that said stupid shit, you know, like because he didn't drop the N-word at a black person. He was yelling dumb shit at his buddies like he was on Xbox. And 10 years ago, you could yell that shit at each other on Xbox. Not that it was okay. But if you come from that mindset and no one has told you, hey, don't do that, you dumbass. That can happen. And that doesn't excuse that behavior. But he has clearly sat down and tried to learn and be better. And so it's like, I have to give you like the half a straw. I don't, you're not cured of your sins. You're not completely forgiven for what you've done, but I see your efforts. I appreciate your willingness to learn and be better. And so I'm not going to punish you. And again, I'm not your target demo. So the fuck do I care? You know, like I'm not the one that's going to be buying all your CDs and albums and go and follow you on tour or anything, you know, but I do acknowledge that, and you know, there's enough audience, unfortunately. It's we got to educate those people too, then I guess at a certain point, like, you know, we got to make everybody be better too, you know. It's a complicated line to walk.
So the moral of the story is we have great music taste, and we have great songs that we're jamming out to right now. I think that's a great place to stop. Thank you, Laura, so much for being on this week. I adore you. You are welcome anytime you want to just chat with me. I absolutely would love it. You are incredible and I look up to you, like I told you before, and just thank you for saying yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. You let me know. And maybe once I get all my new news and settled and everything, we'll do something fun again. So.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. So where can people find you on social if you want to be found?
Yes. If you want to find me, I am Laura Hardy Radio on Twitter and Instagram, I think. And then I'm Regular Laura Radio on TikTok. If you type in Regular Laura on Facebook, you'll find me there too. Twitter and TikTok are my two best, though. And my Instagram is pretty good. I mean, it's good. But I think I do my best work on Twitter and TikTok.
You know what's funny is that I knew you as Regular Laura. Like, the name, I would, like, call you Regular Laura to Sarah for, like, the longest time. And I was like, you know what? She has, like, Laura's her name. I could just call her Laura.
Yeah, but it really is what I go by. It was a nickname that came from the fact that I was Traffic Laura when I started at the station. And then when I became part of the morning show, he started calling me Regular Laura. And I'm like, that sucks. Stop calling me that. And then I can't shake it. It's not my life. And I like the branding, though. I think it's fun. Because people always meet me. They're like, you're not very regular. I'm like, that's the joke, guys.
That's amazing.
You got it.
That's incredible. We'll be right back.